Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships are for people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Because of the way it was delivered.
How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you.
I'm just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Natae, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. Uli, Signature, and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about... Good evening and welcome to another hot, fantastic ladies' night at the Every Woman Talk Show. It is May 20th. I am Natae, and I do believe I have Sig on the line with me. Hey, Sig.
Hey, Natae.
How you doing?
I am doing great.
So, you know, tell us about the nice Atlanta weather, because I know it's nice up here, but I know it's even nicer in ATL.
No, you know what? We had a couple of cool days. It was cooler this morning, but it's warming back up because, you know, we had that rain that came through and dropped the temperature like 20 degrees. But it's been okay.
I'll take
those cool days because with the heat comes humidity.
I know. But I'm enjoying it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So how's your week been?
Oh, it's been one of those weeks. But you know what? It's a week. God's going to get me through it. I'm good.
You know what? You know, amen to that. I hear that because sometimes it's hell on wheels, but you've made a key point.
And
you
then,
go through.
I think it's important that we stay grounded in our spirituality and that we don't take anything for granted. At the same time, I think it's important that we don't complain about that which has been put before us. I remember saying when I was freezing all winter, if it just get hot, God, please, I will not say one word. So when my humidity days come, I thank God that I braided my hair, and I keep it moving.
That's right. You got to keep it moving. That's the key word, keep it moving. Like, for example, my cell phone, my beloved Boost Mobile phone, just darn near died this week. So, you know, I had to go get me a phone, and I kind of ventured over to Verizon, the Verizon family. Now I left my beloved Boost Mobile, but I got a great deal. God really blessed me. I got a phone for $1, a Samsung. You know, I got it for a Galaxy 4, but that's cool. It's better than what I had. And, you know, the engine light turned on in my car. So, you know, what was that? You said how much was it?
Galaxy 4 is a really great phone, though. So you did get a good deal, especially if you got it for $1. But I don't know. You know, because usually when you talk to people and they complain about every little thing, I'm realizing that it's time for me to do that thing I call clean out my closet and get rid of those people in my life, because I'm thinking you've got something better to talk about than complain about your life, because nobody's life is that bad. Dude, you're on a cell phone.
But, you know, some people like to complain about everything. And, you know, you've got to find something to be grateful for. You know, I kind of, before I get into this, you know, I've been told we want to make an announcement. Tonight on our show, for the first 8 callers that call in, we're giving you a $25 off coupon for every $100 that you spend at K&G Superstore. So, again, that's for the first 8 callers. You call in, be one of the first 8 callers, we give you $25 off for every $100 that you spend. So that's our announcement throughout the show.
Okay, so wasn't that the first caller? We're not the first caller.
No. That's not us. That's not us. We have to give it away. We're on the giving end tonight.
Oh.
We're not receiving. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
First caller, you called into work. You called into work. Yeah. That's how it's going tonight.
Oh, I think that's great. That is one. I love K&G. And for people that don't know, they've got some serious sales going on right now. That $25 is going to go a long way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But, you know, speaking of being grateful and ungrateful, I think I shared on the show, you know, with people that, you know, I had a little breakup situation. And that thing, you know, as anybody knows with breakups, they can kind of take the life, the spirit, the joy, the everything out of you. And I get up in the mornings and I go walking. And I found myself on the track, and I was walking, and I was walking. And, you know, when you're going through a situation or a breakup, and it just seems like it's never going to get better, whatever your situation might be, and it's so painful, it's so devastating. But one day this past week, I found myself walking, and I realized that I had gone through the situation. I wasn't hurting the same way. I wasn't getting up and being down and dragging. I just said, you know what, God is better. And I was so, so grateful that my heart wasn't as heavy, or that I haven't been crying. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's just I've gotten through and I've gotten better. And, you know, when you're going through the situation, you don't see the end of it. But I just realized that, okay, Nate, you've come to the end of that thing. And it felt wonderful. Oh, man, it felt wonderful. So I just want to share that.
That's good. I'm glad you're at a different place. I think that it's important that people realize that no matter what we go through, no matter how we handle any devastating thing in life, that people need to recognize people are them. Everybody's going to handle their situations different. For me, well, if we break up, I done checked out the relationship anyway, so I don't really care. Not to say. Yeah, I always tell people, you know, I don't break up. I've broken up with one person my entire life, and that was because I was really tired. But normally I just kind of fade away and let them break up with me, and I go, oh, you know, really, we can't work out. And I'm thinking to myself, please understand that's just a ploy. I'm trying to share your feelings.
You manipulate the situation.
Because I moved on 2 months ago. So, but if something really bothers me, for me, I turn to work, and I put my all into whatever projects I have going on, and I realize that by the end of that week, once I've done all that, I'm too tired to worry about whatever happened before anyway. At that point, I've given it to God, and all I want to do is sleep. So I'm good. But everybody gives it differently.
And I think
that's really funny and unique to me, because this girl was crying. She was crying her eyes out. I'm thinking, oh, my God, somebody died. I broke up with my boyfriend. I said, and? There's more men up there.
Yeah, so you're not the average. You're not the average. I mean, I wanted the relationship, and, you know, but some things just don't work out. And no matter how hard you try, you know, no matter how much you may want it, you may see some things in that situation that, okay, you know what, I can't continue with this. But, no, I'm not one of those people that okay, I'm going to get over it tomorrow. I give it to God about a million times, and still it's just a process. So for me, my keeping busy was going to Zumba, and that's how I became such a Zumba darn fanatic. But you know what? I'm tired of Zumba right now. I don't even go the way I used to. So that also let me know.
Zumba
is fun, you know what?
For its time.
I love
but
it.
I tell everybody, you know what you should do? You should go do different classes every day. Don't do Zumba all the time. Go do something else that's going on so you don't plateau, number one, and you don't tire out on it. Because I'll go do something, and I have every exercise, if they put it out there, P90X, and Sanity. I order everything offline. I don't have good sense. And so I'll do that, and I realize that, yeah, you do the whole thing, and then you get tired of it, and you plateau. Yeah. So then I found this place where they have different things every day. So you do something different every day, and you don't burn out on one situation. So try something other than Zumba. Mix it up.
Yeah, I've burnt out. So I'm trying something else. I'm doing something else because I have plateaued, burnt out, and all of that. But I got a question for you. Since we're talking about – our topic tonight is on adoption and foster care. And May is National Foster Care Month. So in line with, you know, parenting and kids, you heard about that Will and Jada Smith situation where Willow, their daughter, was in the bed with a 20-year-old with his shirt off. Now, I don't know what they were doing, whatever, but the picture was put out there on social media. So now Child Protection Services, they've gotten involved in it. Do you think, like, you know what, they need to stay out of it, or yes, somebody needed to step in and kind of, you know, monitor that situation?
For me, when it comes to kids, because there are situations where you think, ah, it's not my business, you walk away, and then something devastating happens later on, a couple of things happens to you, you live with that for life.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then this child had to go through when this child really needed help, or they were in a situation, whether they were crying out for help or they thought was perfectly okay. And I love Will and Jada, and I'm not in anybody's business, and I don't know the whole story, but I do know that when I was watching some award show or something and it flashed and then they had a flash of data talking about it's not what you think it is, I don't care what I think it is, I'm telling you what it looks like. So I think
right.
Child Protective Services should address that. And I think that for me, that would be anybody, Will and Jada, hell, Prince and whatever. I don't know these. I'm not a celebrity person. Whoever the prince and his wife
Prince is like it.
And, yeah. and so... You know, whoever, I think any situation, you just don't walk away from. You pay attention when it comes to kids. I'm very passionate when it comes to kids. I'd rather you abuse me than the child. So
right.
that situation just sends up all kinds of red flags. Yeah, that needs to be looked into. I love Will and Jade. I can't say that enough. I don't follow celebrity lives. I just think they're awesome people in their own right. But they have some questionable adult habits that I would hope are just kept as their adult habits, and they're not bleeding this over onto Willow. Willow, to me, is out of control in person, and she needs a whooping because you do not shave half your head and then go shave all the rest of it because you want to act out.
Right.
I have your act out.
Right,
so
right. But how can you do
I
that unless your parents allow you? Yeah.
Right.
Know, I don't know
needs-
Will and Jada, you know, and I can't say I love them because I don't know them. But I will say this, that I agree with you. It needs to be looked into. I think they give their kids just way too much freedom. I'm not in the household, but from what we see, like you said, the cutting the hair, the shaving the hair, the weaving and laying up in the bed with a 20-year-old, way too much. Just because you have money does not mean that you have wisdom. And so I agree. Now I see that Jackie is on the line with us. Hey, Jack.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Hey, Jackie.
Good. How you doing?
A little stressed out, but I'm all right.
You all right? Take a deep breath. Exhale.
Yes.
Yes.
Running. But you know what?
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here. This is my relaxed time. This is my downtime. Get to chit-chat with my girls and
all
talk
right.
about something amazing. So I just caught the tail end and you guys are here talking about Will and Jada and their baby. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yes. Well, I was saying that, you know, Child Protective Services, they're now involved based on that picture that Willow had with that, you know, the 20-year-old dude with the chest muscles popping out, laying
really?
Up in bed and stuff. Yes. So,
now,
like,
I'm
going to
tell
you
something
think?
I heard. I'm going to tell you, I was
okay.
listening to a radio station maybe a day or two after it happened, and what they were saying was that that was after Jada gave the statement that, you know, the media was putting their own spin on it. What I've heard was there was more than that one picture taken, and that there was a room full of people, that her brother was there, her one of the Kardashian sisters were there. It was a room full of people. Her parents were there. They knew what was going on. It wasn't as if they were there alone. This one picture was singled out, and this is what was fed to the media, and that's why it is in such an uproar. And the thing is that who took the picture? Somebody, and it's not a selfie because there's no extension of the arms. So somebody had to be there to take the picture. Now, do I still like it? No, I'm not crazy about it because it sends the wrong message. Now, unless you hear that comment that there are a whole bunch of people in this room and this girl is not in this room with this young man by herself, you don't know. I think the image sends the wrong, you know, the wrong message, you know, even though she wasn't there alone with this young man. It just kind of sends a strange message. And the thing is that when you put things out, or when things are taken, you know, and they're out for everyone to see, you have to be prepared for the backlash that's going to happen. So whoever leaked the picture or gave the picture to the media or whatever, the family should have known that this was going to cause some kind of an uproar with people, because, of course, unless you do get the background story, you don't know that this wasn't a situation where however old Willow Smith was, you know, what is she, 13, 14, however old she is?
15.
She's in the room alone. You know, she's not in a room alone with this man. She's actually in a room full of people. So,
how about we get on him for not having a shirt on? Because all of the, you know, the backlash has been going to Willow, and I believe she should get a lot of it, and so should Will and Jada. But what about Mr. Arias with the shirt off and laying up there? I don't think too many people have mentioned him. And has he been judged or condemned?
Whoever leaked the picture did it with intent.
They did it with malice.
Yes.
They did it to get this kind of reaction.
If the masses wasn't such celebrity whores and looking for something to talk about, then it wouldn't have had any drive. Now, had that been an everyday Joe Blow, that just would have been reposted on Facebook all the time with a caption under it and something stupid said. But because
right.
it's a celebrity and not just Americans, people in the world do not have their own lives, and they're trying to live vicariously through somebody they don't even freaking know, it's gonna create what it created. So, yeah, were they in the room alone? I'm glad they weren't, thank God. Do I still think social services got involved? Yeah, but if social services want to, child protective services want to do me a favor, go on Facebook and get involved with the woman who's standing up there with her breast out, and her son has a cigarette in his mouth. He's on her hip. He's about 4 years old. He's covering her breast. I want social services to tell me something about that. The little girl whose parents made her re-talk about how she saw them having sex, and they're filming it. I want social services to tell me something about that.
Or about the little boy where they have him hitting a bong, smoking
yeah.
a bong with his
wow.
parents. You know, it's amazing how on social media we're flooded with such images, and we can, and not we, I mean, not this group of ladies, but we as society, we kind of be like, oh, wow, that's messed up, but then we keep key about it. But then in this situation, and like I said, it still sends the wrong message, but there's a room full of people. And,
yeah.
you know, like you said, you know, people are such celebrity mongers that it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, you want to sit up and talk about Will and Jada, but you don't talk about the little girl who is, you know, who is 14, 15 years old walking down the street doing heaven knows what with the 22-year-old guy who lives next door.
And getting paid for it. I mean, let's be honest. We want to be socially aware, okay? Let's be socially aware right in our own communities first. The only reason they want to mess with Will and Jada mm-hmm. is because, let's be honest, you don't know a whole lot about them, for real, for real. You get the leaks, and then it goes away.
Right.
So
wow, well,
people need
I guess.
Be a little more conscious. And I don't know that being in a room with the Kardashians give any credibility to anything. I don't care.
No, not at all.
I don't think so. But listen, it's about adoption and foster care. May is National Foster Care Month, so we are talking about adoption and foster care here on the Every Woman Talk Show. Our special guest this evening is Miss Betty Berzin. But before we get into our topic, we're going to take a music break. And before I do that, I want to remind our listeners that for the first 8 callers, tonight we are giving away $25 off coupon for every $100 that you spend at KNG Superstore. Again, that's for the first 8 callers, and ladies, that does not include us. So that's an excellent deal.
Because I was just about to say, can I hang up and call?
No,
I tried to be the first caller.
Stick try that. But listen, our call-in number is 646-478-4507. We are talking about adoption and foster care tonight, so we would love to hear from you. If you've adopted a child or you are an adopted child, please give us a call and share your story. But right now, don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show, and once again, thank you for tuning in. Tonight our topic is adoption and foster care, and we do have a very special guest tonight, but before I introduce her once again, I want to remind you that for the first 8 callers, we are giving out a $25 coupon for every $100 that you spend at K&G Superstore. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 646-478-4507. And if you are an adopted parent or you're a child or an adult that has been adopted, again, please call us and share your story. Now, without further ado, we do have a special guest this evening. Her name is Ms. Betty Berzin, and she is the Assistant Director for the New Jersey State Division of Child Protection and Permanency and heads the Office of Adoption Operations. In this role, Ms. Berzin has direct oversight and administrative responsibilities for New Jersey's state adoption program. She has been employed in the state child welfare field for approximately 34 years and primarily has worked in the area of adoption. Ms. Berzin, please welcome to the Every Woman Talk Show.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for being our guest this evening. So we want to get into it, and of course you've heard our topic is adoption and foster care. And I just want to start with, you know, the question, how did you begin working with the state's adoption program?
Well, social work was really a field that I was very much interested in, sort of a legacy in my family. And, you know, I think like many of the division staff, you know, we have a special, you know, commitment to children. And I began in the protective service area of my agency a very long time ago. And my career just sort of evolved into seeing the need for permanency for children that are in our foster care system and are unable to return to their families. And that sort of evolved into the really strong need for permanency through adoption.
Good point. Now, I know you work with the state. So how is a state adoption program different from a private adoption agency?
So I can speak to the state program. Private adoption agencies in New Jersey are all licensed. And are sort of, there's an oversight with the licensing regulations, but how each individual private agency operates is something that I am not that familiar with. So I will really talk to the state adoption program. The children that we are the largest adoption agency in the state of New Jersey, and we finalize approximately 1,000 children each year, their adoptions. The children primarily are children that come out of the child welfare system and through foster care. They're children that for one reason or another, the court and the agency has determined that they are not able to return home and are in need of permanency. So many of the children, the majority of the children, as a matter of fact, are adopted by their foster parents or by relatives. Okay. And then there are a certain number of children that we are seeking adoptive families for.
Okay. Question. You were saying that a lot of the children are adopted by family members, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Those numbers, I assumed, are a lot higher than as opposed to maybe the foster care, the foster parents, or is it maybe higher than what I would consider stranger adoption?
It's really about 50-50. The last number of years, our agency has really made a very strong commitment towards placing children who are not able to remain with their biological parents with relatives. And we have done a really excellent job in terms of identifying other family supports, other relatives who are able to be kinship parents for these children. So, again, if the children are not able to return home, many times they are adopted by their kin.
I think that's fantastic because it keeps them, it still keeps that family structure there. Even if they can't go back home with the biological mother, there still can be that connection there where they can maybe get to know and still see and have time with that biological parent and still be within, you know, the better care of a different family member.
Right, and there are unique challenges for relatives who do choose to adopt. You know, the role changes, there become, you know, different things that need to be negotiated within a family. That is something that I think family members need to consider. You know, we absolutely try, you know, our priority is for children who have to be removed from their parents to return home. Reunification is always our primary goal, and we work very hard in terms of supporting families so that the children can successfully and safely return home. If not, again, we look towards relatives, but relatives need to go into this process really with their eyes open because it does shift the role. So if I'm looking to, you know, adopt my sister's child, I'm really no longer auntie, am I? I'm
mommy.
I'm doing a split role of auntie and mom. And how the rest of the family responds to me is something that, you know, I need to be prepared for and needs to be a conversation within the family.
I didn't even think about that.
Okay, I have a question. When it's family, when it's a kinship adoption, is it the same procedure as if it's someone else?
Yes. In order to adopt through our agency, you must be a licensed resource parent. And a resource parent is sort of an umbrella term for either a foster parent, or an adoptive parent, or a kinship parent. There's a home study and licensing process that someone would need to go through to be approved and licensed for the child to be placed with you, if it's an adoption through the state.
Okay.
Okay. So what about if it's like a situation where it's an adult sibling? Same process?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So now we've set the word process. Can you take us through the process, like how the child ends up in the welfare system and straight through to a foster parent or a relative adopting that child?
So as I said, you know, the division I work for, the Division of Child Protection and Permanency, which was formerly known as the Division of Youth and Family Services, or DYFUS, we are New Jersey's Child Protection and Child Welfare Agency. The division is within the Department of Children and Families, and our overall mission is to ensure the safety, permanency, and well-being of children and to support their families. We receive referrals, and we're responsible for investigating allegations of abuse and neglect and arranging for a child's protection and for treatment for the family. At times, we're able to, and we try to primarily service the family with the child remaining in the home. At times, for the safety of that child, the child will need to be removed from the home. We look to family relatives first. If that's not possible, the child will enter the foster care system and be placed in a licensed foster home. Foster parents are studied and licensed and approved to provide temporary care to children while they need to remain out of the home. While that's going on, the agency and the caseworkers are working with the family around addressing whatever challenges and needs and issues resulted in the child's removal. We're providing services. There's court oversight for all of these cases. There are regular court reviews. And we work for a period of at least a year, which is a federal requirement towards a reunification. Hopefully the child can return much quicker than that. But if at the time we reach a 12-month point and there has been really not sufficient or significant improvement or stability in that family and it's still deemed by the court and by the agency that it's not safe for the child to return home, we will then go and look to terminate parental rights. And that, again, is overseen by the court. The final decision is made by the court. Should that action be granted, the child is then placed in the guardianship of the state, and then we would be proceeding towards adoption. many times the children are adopted by their current foster parent. Other times they are placed, you know, are adopted by the relative caretaker. If we don't have an identified family for the child, then we look to match the child with a waiting family who's interested in adopting.
Wow.
Great.
That's a rigorous process. But
okay,
I see that the state is trying to, you know, keep families together more so than
awesome.
Anything, and that I do applaud.
Well, that is our primary mission, right?
Okay, what's an incident? Okay, say something happens and someone's reported about the welfare of their child. Is it that one incident where people just walk in and take the child away? How does that work?
No, absolutely not. And I think that is sort of the stereotype and the old way that people viewed the division before. We have a responsibility, as I had said, for investigating any allegation of abuse or neglect. By law, we're required to do that. By law, people, if they're aware of a child being neglected or abused, to have an obligation to call in to our hotline, which is the state central registry, and report that, and we have an obligation to go out and investigate. Our last option is to remove a child from the home. You know, many times we get referrals and we go out and investigate and we, you know, there's nothing to the referral. They aren't substantiated. If we deem the child is not safe in the home and we can't put a safety plan in place for that child to be safe there, then we have no recourse but other than to remove the child. Any removal that the division does is reviewed by the court. So should there be a sense that we have erroneously removed a child from their home, there is the court oversight. The parents are given an attorney. The children are given an attorney. And, you know, we are held accountable in terms of our actions. So we have to answer to whatever actions we, you know, we take. So if we decide that, you know, this child wasn't safe and we have to do a removal and the court and everybody reviews it the next day and says, no, division, you were wrong, that child needs to go back. So it's not just decisions made in isolation. We're very careful in terms of any decision to remove a child from their home.
I have a question in reference to the parental rights. You were saying, and kind of jump in me where I kind of got it wrong, and I'm quite sure I will, that you try for about a year to do reunification, you know, where you can. And then after that year's time, if it's not feasible, then you look to terminate parental rights. How is that done when there is, I guess, an absent parent? Say, for instance, this is a situation with maybe a single mother and a child and, you know, definitely cannot put this child back with this single mother. What do you do in regards to the father of that child, you know, getting that father the information or the opportunity to find out what's going on or possibly terminating that father's parental rights as well?
So if I understood your question, we have a situation with a single mom who's raising a child and we've done the removal from mom.
Right.
Okay, so when we file, or, you know, when we remove a child, even before the removal, we will look towards, you know, where is the other parent? Is the other parent involved? Who is the other parent? We absolutely have an obligation to search for the other parent if, you know, that information isn't, you know, given to us readily. And at times, you know, mom may not, you know, be upfront and disclose who dad is for a variety of reasons, right? Possibly her safety, possibly, you know, I mean, just a number of reasons. We still have an obligation to search for that father, to have that person identified and searched for. He is also served with the notices of the court action. He also is party to the action. He is the father of the child, so he has as many rights to that child as mom does, and we need to take that into account also.
Okay.
Wow.
I just think
that's
a piece that's missing.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm saying I think that's a piece sometimes that people don't think about, that other parents, especially in a single-parent household.
Yeah, there are fathers, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Paternal role.
What about the kids who've never been adopted? You can't return them home, and they're not adopted. What happens to them?
We, unfortunately, at times do have children that have gone through our system that we have been unsuccessful in terms of identifying a family for them in terms of adoption. We are working diligently in terms of recruiting adoptive parents for teens, preteens, older teens. This is a population that we are very concerned about. We have, as an agency, really focused in terms of providing services to adolescents. You know, if we're talking about legally free children and adolescents, we continue to look for an adoptive family for them. We also look, if that's not possible, for a permanent connection. It could be some adult in their life that will serve a purpose. Maybe it's not a legal relationship, but it is a very strong psychological connection and permanent support for that adolescent. We also have an Office of Adolescent Services that provides a whole array of independent living services, scholarship services, other supportive services to our aging out population of older youth.
The
aging out,
what age is that? Is, I know here in New Jersey, is that constituted at 18 or is that 21?
21.
So that kid decides they possibly want to, they've graduated high school, they want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
How do they, how do they go through the process when they're, you know, going to college? Because they don't have an actual biological parent that they're connected to, or maybe even an adoptive parent. How do they go ahead and do the things that are required for them to move forward?
So they have... If they choose to have their case still remain open with the agency, they're still assigned a caseworker. It's who we refer to as their adolescent worker.
Mm-hmm.
We also link them up with independent living skills programs and other supportive entities that help them navigate that process. So help them in terms of applying, you know, filling out those college applications or seeking jobs. We have a New Jersey Scholars Program that provides financial assistance to our youth in terms of scholarships or work-study programs. At the same time that we're doing those sort of concrete type of services, we're working concurrently in terms of linking them with a supportive adult so that on spring breaks they have somewhere to go on weekends.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was thinking about.
So it may not end up being an adoptive family with that legal piece, but it is that psychological connection and that person that, you know, what's going to be at my college graduation or when I get my first job.
Right.
That's huge.
Okay, I have a question. You said they age out at 21?
Yes. They can,
our
services technically could end at 18. The youth can choose to stay on and sign on for continued services to 21.
Okay, that was my question.
Right, so we continue to provide services if they choose beyond 18 to the age of 21.
Okay, and for the, not the caseworkers, what did you say they were called?
Well, they are caseworkers, but we refer to them as their adolescent workers.
Okay. What is their caseload like?
In terms of numbers?
Right.
I think there's a regular standards. I believe it's 15 children, so it's probably 15 to 20 children.
Okay.
Or youth.
Okay.
Sorry, they are youth, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so... If you have a child that's 17 and there's a problem and they're removed from their home, they're automatically going into the system.
If a 17-year-old is removed from their home?
Uh-huh.
By us, yes.
Okay.
If, you know, they weren't going to be placed with a relative or if there wasn't another, you know, source available, maybe, you know, it's a situation we can work out with they stay with a friend while we, you know, de-escalate a situation at home, you know. But if we get a referral, I mean, then we're involved.
Okay.
Now, Ms. Burson, you said for the children or for the youth that they're not adopted and they're not successfully placed in foster care. Well, and you search for an adoptive family that's not related, that's not kin. How do you search for that family? What's the process for that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Sure. For the children that are not placed, that are not adopted, or they're not returned home, and they're not adopted by a relative or placed with a relative or put in foster care, you said you search for adoptive family that are not related to the
right.
to the child. How? What's the process for that search? How do you go about that?
Okay, so when I spoke before in terms of like the umbrella term around resource parents, I had mentioned that there are sort of three components under that umbrella title. So they're the foster parents that are families that come to our agency who are willing to provide temporary care for children, and at times that ends up being, you know, an adoptive home. There are those families or individuals who are interested solely in the purpose of adopting a child. They are studied and licensed, as are the rest of our resource parents. They go through the same home study process, training, okay. background checks, references, home inspections, licensing. And then they indicate, based on their capabilities, their family makeup, what type of child they are interested in adopting. Maybe I'm interested in adopting a teen because that fits into my family situation and my life situation, and I don't want to do the diapers and the toilet training. Maybe okay. I am able, because I have a background in the medical profession, that I'm comfortable in terms of taking care of a child with some medical needs. So adoptive families indicate the type of child that they are interested in. Their home study comes up to my operation, my Office of Adoption Operations, and we have what's called an exchange unit. And what that unit does is matches waiting families with waiting children. And that is our child-specific selection process. What we also do in terms of recruitment for our waiting children is we hold different types of events. So once the family's home is licensed and they're interested in adopting, they will be invited to different recruitment events. So some of the events are events where my staff will profile some of the waiting children. And there's, you know, an informal conversation about some of the characteristics of the child, some of the needs of the child. It's an opportunity for families to speak with the worker and get a good sense of what this child is about. There are other events that we refer to as match parties, where we invite licensed families to events where the children are at. So we have a bowling party, or we have an event at a baseball stadium, or we do an arts and crafts night that the waiting families and the children will do scrapbooking, or you know, different cooking events. So it's an opportunity for waiting families to meet these kids in sort of a natural, informal, relaxed environment and really be able to get a sense of the child. So we do different types of recruitment events in terms of looking to match waiting families with our waiting kids.
Okay. Now, another question for you. Do you interact with the children at all?
Myself?
Yes.
When I can, okay, well, so does my staff. My staff much more than I do. I have about 20 who we refer to as child-specific recruiters. So while all the children involved with our agency have their regular caseworker, who's an adoption worker, those children that don't have an identified family that we're looking to recruit a family for the purpose of adoption, are also assigned one of my child-specific recruiters. And their responsibility is to work very closely with these kids to get a sense of these kids, to help these kids figure out, you know, the whole adoption thing, come to terms with their past, help them identify what they're looking for in a family. And they spend a lot of time with the kids and really have established very strong relationships, very strong bonds You know, these workers end up being, you know, the support system for these kids who don't have parents.
Okay, now that was just the setup question. Now, my next question for that is, don't worry. But has there ever been a child that just really stole your heart and you felt like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I want to take this child, or do you protect yourself from developing that type of relationship? Because I know my heart probably would just be open and on the floor, and I'd try to bring everybody home, and obviously you can't do that. So
there's been many, many children over the years that have, you know, gotten, you know, sort of under your skin, right? And you think about them all the time, and you think, maybe, what if? I think that that's just an absolute natural reaction. You know, we don't, you're not helping yourself and you're not really helping the kids if you put up this barrier for your feelings, right? Our workers care deeply about these kids and do become very attached to them. But there is that sense of what their role is also. We become attached to these kids, and, you know, we have the pictures of them all over the place, and we get the hugs from them when we go to events and we see them over and over again. But our commitment is to find them that family who's going to be there for them, because workers change jobs, people retire, people move on. That's why it's so critical that these kids have families.
Okay, I have a question. How important is it to place children with parents, with foster parents or adoptive parents of the same ethnic background?
I think that's important if it's feasible and we can do that. But we also are not going to prevent a child from being placed in a family that can be a permanent family for them. Now, some of our kids, our older kids, have absolute preferences. There are, you know, children who, you know, do not want to be in a house with a male, do not want to be placed in, you know, an African-American child doesn't want to be placed with a Caucasian family. The kids have expressed their interest. While we don't talk them out of those feelings, we try to understand those feelings, because many times it's a defense against a rejection. So I put up all these, I don't want this, I don't want this, I want this, I want this. So we explore those feelings. But, you know, there are federal laws that prevent us from, you know, not placing a child in a certain home due to race or ethnicity. So we're very careful. I mean, we try to match needs, cultural needs, you know, capacity on the part of the parent to meet the needs of the child. I mean, there are many factors that go in terms of what we consider for a placement, but also what a family needs to consider when they're considering placing a child, accepting a child.
I have a question. When, say, for instance, that, you know, I come in and I meet all the criteria and I am able to adopt a child, does the agency provide supportive services after that child has been adopted? Say, you know, whether it be financial services or just supportive services for adjustment for myself and that child. Are there services that you guys provide, or do you refer them then to maybe outside agencies for additional services?
I'm really glad you asked that, because I think that's such a critical piece for anyone considering adoption, is to understand, you know, the entire package, right? So there's a lot to consider when someone is considering adopting a child, when they're going through the process, but also what is going to be there after. So adoptions that we finalize, the agency is no longer involved. You know, you are now a family.
Okay.
So you aren't having a caseworker come out to your home after the finalization. This is legally your child. It's just as if this was your birth child, right? But what we do provide, and about 98% of the children adopted out of our agency are entitled to an adoption subsidy. What that is it's a financial stipend that is provided to families based on the special needs of the child. And most of the children that are adopted out of the child welfare system are identified as special needs. And that could mean a whole variety of things.
Right.
Based on the child's needs, the family is provided a stipend. It's based on the needs of the child, not the family's income. We don't take income into account. We also provide medical coverage. We also provide the legal fees, cover the legal fees for the finalization. If a child, for instance, has special medical needs that aren't covered by the medical coverage, and this is a bad example, but I think a simple one, if a child requires a wheelchair and Medicaid, let's say, doesn't pay for the wheelchair, we would build the cost into the subsidy and we would pay for that. If we needed to convert a van for a family to be able to transport a handicapped child, we would pay for that in the subsidy. So those are sort of the concrete services that are available.
Okay.
We also have a very extensive network of post-adoption counseling agencies that are available free to charge throughout the state to any family that adopts a child in New Jersey. And that's an agency, a bunch of agencies that have specially trained adoption therapists. So at different points in time, different developmental stages the child may be going through, the family may need to touch base with the therapist and work through some issues. Adoption is a lifelong experience, and it's at different times families need different supports, and there is, as I said, this network of free supportive services available. There's also a clearinghouse. It's referred to as NJ Arch, and I believe I had sent you a few of these websites that you could share with your callers. That's a clearinghouse of resources. They have a warm line. They have a lending library. They also have extensive resources in terms of different services that adoptive families may need. So it's sort of a one-stop, this is what I need, where can you direct me type of thing. So there are a lot of supports available for families after the adoption occurs.
I'm so glad you cleared that up, because I think that's such a misconception, and that's why a lot of people say they would rather foster than adopt, because they feel like there's no support. Once the ink is dry on the piece of paper, they feel as if they're left alone, whereas opposed to being a foster parent, there's the constant connection.
Right.
So thank you so much for making that clear.
Yeah. And we do have a caller on the line. We do have Jamisha from Pennsylvania, Ms. Burson. She has a question for you. Welcome, Jamisha. Thank you for calling the Every Woman Talk Show.
Hi, Jamisha.
Hi, ladies. How you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm good. I'm good. So I was listening. This is a very great topic. I was listening in, and I just have a question. Now, what happens when there's a foster parent, well, let's say adoptive parent, those are two separate things, adoptive parent, and God forbid something happens with the adoptive parent as far as, like, they pass a death. And now what happens with that child, that minor child? Is it an option for the extended family that the child was adopted into to go and adopt, or does that child go back into the system? I'm really not clear, so I kind of wanted to get some information in that area.
So once a child is adopted, it is that family's child. The arrangements would be the same as if a parent died and had a minor child. What would happen to that child? And
right.
It would be,
okay.
That child would be cared for within the family. So
that's
not any different. That's your child at that point.
Now, what happens if it's a foster parent? Then is that where it turns into, it needing another foster parent or going back into the system, or how does that work?
If it's a foster placement, parental rights have not been terminated, most likely. So this is a child that is not legally free, who still has biological parents who are the parents to that child.
Right.
So if a foster parent who is a temporary caretaker should pass away, that child would then need to go into another foster home if they aren't able to return home.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, thank you. That helped to clear some things up, because I was unsure.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
A lot of good information. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Jamisha, for calling. And you are our first caller tonight, so we do have a special gift for you. We're just going to put you on hold and let you know what that is. So thank you for calling into the Every Woman Talk Show.
Okay. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Jamisha. Have a good night.
You too.
And Ms. Burden, I just wanted to thank you so much for calling in to the Every Woman Talk Show. Thank you for sharing a wealth of knowledge with us. We really, really appreciate having you as a guest tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The information is invaluable. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you. I think you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank
you. Good
night. Good night. Well, welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show. I think that was an interesting topic.
It really was.
I don't think I could have her job.
No. The objectivity that she has to have has got to be amazing to be able to see children on a daily basis, you know, maybe not coming from the best of homes, not necessarily having a home to go to, and not just wanting to wrap this child up and take them home with you on a daily basis. But it's got to be hard.
I'm such a sucker for a kid. I would be the old lady who lives in the shoe. There's no way I can do her job.
Yeah, definitely. It's got to be tough. It's got to really be tough. But I guess the primary thing is to make sure that these kids can go somewhere where they truly are loved. And it's interesting because there are so many bad things associated with the Child Protective Agency as far as they don't do what they're supposed to do. They don't get these kids in. And then, you know, the other thing about foster parents. And it's interesting the screening that she was saying, because sometimes you're like, how did this person become a foster parent? And they're terrible. So, but I'm assuming that, you know, once you go through the process, people change. But it's just interesting to know that there are services out there, because I was one of those people, and I work in social services, that thought that once the adoption was done, it's just kind of it. You know, they just kind of leave you. It's like, okay, this is your kid. You're stuck. You're on your own. Good luck with that. You know, so to know that there are services out there that are available, I don't know if maybe, you know, adoptive parents know that these services are available, or maybe they just don't choose to utilize them, because working where I am, which is with the County Welfare Agency, a lot of people who do kinship and who do adoption say that they don't have services. So now I'm saying to them when I go back to work tomorrow, you chose not to have these services because they are there available for you.
I think there's more support for various things, and people get what's in their mind. Like you said, Jackie, I think they think, okay, I've adopted this child, I'm on my own, and they never inquire about any additional services.
Right.
Or they
and
get
I think,
handed the pamphlets and information, and like a manual to a cell phone, they don't read it.
Absolutely, and I think you're right in that regard, because I'm quite sure it has got to be expressed, okay, there is some additional help. And I'm so glad she also cleared up the myth of financial assistance, because a lot of people who love children, who open their homes for foster children, they don't ever adopt. They stay foster parents. And let's be honest, we all know the myth or the stereotype of, you know, a lot of people are foster parents because of the money. It's decent money.
Right.
But to now know that, you know, there's still a stipend that's available if you go ahead and adopt this kid. If you care for this kid and want to bring them into your household, just go ahead and adopt them. There's still financial services available to you and for you for that child. A lot of people don't realize that. So they'll just stick with fostering. You know, the money's there. They like, you know, we can't afford to do it on our own. Well, you're not on your own. So now there's no excuse, because I hear that a lot. I have clients who have foster children, and they'll be foster parents to this child for years. That child is like your child, and at any given moment, by being a foster parent, that child can be taken away. So if you love this child, just go ahead and take the most natural progressive step and adopt that child, and know that there are still people out there to help you with that adoption.
Are we still on air?
Yeah, we're still here. I think we just had a blank out. But that's good because we got a little break. I want to bring on our next guest. We have Heather from African American Adoptions Online. She's on the air. Hi, Heather. Thank you for calling into the Every Woman Talk Show.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Heather. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi. Glad to be here. So tell us a little bit about what your agency does.
Sure. We work nationwide. What we do is kind of split 50-50 between pregnant women who want to make an adoption plan for their children, the child they are carrying. And then kind of on the other side, we work with black and biracial families who are wanting to permanently adopt. We don't do foster care, temporary respite care, nothing like that. Okay. We focus solely on permanent adoption. Because we're able to work nationwide, we can help and support women across the country. During their pregnancy, we help them with maternity clothes. We help them get prenatal care, even help them with food, WIC, those types of things, to get them to a stable place where they can make the best decision for the baby they're carrying or young child if they're looking at placing a child they already have. And then if they do want to move forward, like I say, we work with a wide variety of not only African-American couples, but also couples who have an interracial marriage, because many of these babies are mixed race, and that's what the birth mother is looking for to choose for her child. And then, again, we really recommend having some type of ongoing contact after the adoption has taken place.
Really?
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is amazing. Wow. Okay, I've got to ask. Oh, my God. That is amazing. I would have thought that would have been a hindrance for the growth of the child.
Actually, that's a real popular myth. Think about, there's really three parties in the adoption. There's the child, there's the birth mother and her family, and then there's the adoptive parents. For the birth mother, it is definitely in her best interest because she knows where her child is. She knows that her child is growing up happy and healthy, and she knows that the adoptive parents have accepted her in addition to her child. Now, she's not coming over for dinner on Sundays, but there is a level of acceptance. For the child, we encourage, and really it's everyone, professionals encourage, families to share adoption with a child from the beginning, from the time they're a baby and they can't even understand, to share this child's story, because it becomes normal to the child. It's all they know is they were adopted. I grew in someone else's tummy, but I grew in my mama's heart. You know, that those
oh,
types of lessons.
Wow, that's
and,
an amazing motto.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful.
And
that touched me.
It gives the child the assurance that they are loved on multiple levels, and also they know their story and it's normal. They don't have to fantasize about a birth mother being a princess who's going to rescue them from their mean old mom who makes them clean their room. So really it's better all around.
So
I think it's actually amazing.
The adoptive parents, do they meet the birth mother like beforehand? Is that how that match is made? Does she get to pick the adoptive parents?
Yes, she gets to choose the adoptive parents, but usually that comes after a conversation. It can be in person. Usually it's by phone. It can even be like Skype or FaceTime. And it's kind of about building a relationship during the pregnancy. The relationship is best described as like a friendship or even like a relative that, you didn't really know you had, and you kind of get to know a little bit, and maybe, maybe you share things in common. That's kind of what the relationship is about. And for adoptive parents, sometimes they're a bit hesitant at that. But when we try to explain how this works, they kind of can see that we're coming to an understanding that it really is just more people to love our children.
That's great. And I thank you for dispelling a lot of the myths that are out there, because I think a lot of people, when they think about a baby being, you know, put up for adoption. It's like, oh, the mother decides at that moment, you know, mm-hmm. once the child is born, oh, you know, I can't do this, or they decide mm-hmm. maybe so late into the pregnancy. You know, the idea that someone can come to a conclusion, you know, well before this child is even brought into the world, that, you know what, maybe this is not the right thing for me right now. I'm going to take an active
right.
role in making sure that my baby can have the best possible future, even though it's not with me. I applaud
mm-hmm.
you so much for that information, because I think we all just kind of are under the wrong impression about how that all goes. And, of course, you know, television doesn't help.
No, no, it doesn't. They don't put a lot of real adoption stories on TV because they're not
no.
they're not exciting.
They never put a positive
no.
spin on them either. They're all horror stories.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Now, what are the fees involved in adopting a child?
Well, the fees range anywhere. It's kind of let me explain. It's kind of hard to say exactly what the fees are, because families in different states will encounter
okay.
different fees with things like legal and their home study. But probably a domestic adoption, before any tax credits or grants or anything like that, or employer benefits, a domestic adoption is probably between about $20,000 and $30,000. But like I say, right off the top, there's a $13,000 tax credit from the federal government. In addition,
okay.
many states have adoption credits. Many employers offer benefits, just like you know, just like they may give you money for joining a health club. Many employers give you money for adoption. Sometimes health insurance mm-hmm. offers a one-time infertility or adoption benefit. We actually have grants that help offset some of the fees for our program. So, you know, there's a lot of help out there, too, for families who really want to build their family through a newborn adoption.
Heather, do you
Heather,
find that the cost may deter people?
Yes, I think the cost does mm-hmm. sometimes deter people, but the costs are kind of what they are. I mean, none of us would think of going to a doctor to have, you know, to have a benign tumor remove and tell the doctor, oh, you know, you really shouldn't charge that. You know, you really should do this for free. It's the
right.
same like with legal services. You know, there are fees to be paid. In addition, with our program, a lot of our fees go to help and support the women who are making these choices. So,
okay.
yes, the cost deter it. But, again, a lot of the families we work with, too, they're families who are facing infertility or perhaps secondary infertility. And so this is they want a baby. It's different. Our program's a little different than families who may want to rescue a child out of foster care or through international adoption.
Okay, these parents want. Now, question for you. Is it harder for a single woman to adopt a child? And also, do you find a lot of same-sex couples adopting children? And is that something
you know,
that you allow?
Those are really good questions. For single women, is it harder? Let me say it in a different way. It's easier for a single African American woman than it is, for instance, for a single Caucasian woman.
Why
because,
is that?
Because
African American families are much more matriarchal. Many African American birth moms, say, were raised in a family by mom or perhaps by grandmom or someone like that. Maybe they didn't, you know, so culturally it is a lot easier for African American women. In terms of same sex, our program is based on what birth mothers are requesting. And we do not get many calls for birth moms wanting same sex couples. So like I say, that's how, because a lot of our birth mother referrals come from faith communities, come from Christian centers. So we get kind of what you would consider traditional Christian values are requested more than anything else.
Okay. And that's understandable, because a lot of times if these parents can't provide for their children traditional families, that's what they're looking for by giving
exactly.
them up for adoption in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hmm.
I think your program is
awesome. And if someone wants to contact you or wants more information on your program, where can they reach you? or how can they reach you?
Our website is AfricanAmericanAdoptionsOnline.com. I know that's a mouthful. Our 800 number is 800-923-6784. And like I say, we have services both for people wanting to adopt and then also for women interested in confidentially learning more about placing a baby or a child for adoption.
Now, Heather, tell me if I'm wrong, but your 1-800 number is man 24/7?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
That's so fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah, and that's our primary number for birth parents. For adoptive families, I'd encourage you to call during the day, but we do have that hotline because many women in crisis, you know, they need help now. And even if it's just someone to answer some general questions about adoption because they're feeling overwhelmed, you know, we want to be there and we want to help. And even if adoption isn't what they choose, then you know what? Maybe just having somebody to listen to them gave them the stability they needed to realize, okay, I can do this. I just needed somebody to have a little faith in me.
Heather, thank you so much for this information because, you know, you've kind of removed that. There's also a stigma with, you know, I see where, you know, when people decide, you know what, this isn't for me right now. I know I can't give this child the best thing that I can give them, so I'm going to give this child up for adoption. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think actually it is an amazing thing on a parent's part to know I can't do this. Yes, I got pregnant and, you know, I did all of that, but I know that I cannot give this child the life that it deserves because I'm nowhere near financially capable, mentally capable, psychologically capable, whatever the reasoning may be. I think it's fantastic that you guys provide services for women from maybe the onset of conception all the way through birth. I applaud you for what you do.
Well, thank you very much. And just one other thing, we actually provide services after birth as well. Some of these women keep in touch with us for years because they found someone who listened to what they said and was non-judgmental in, you know, in the help we can provide. So thank
Absolutely.
You for giving me the opportunity to share a little
thank
bit about our
program. You,
Heather. Thank you, Heather,
thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for responding to my emails. I ran across it and thought, this is awesome what you guys do. And if I'm not mistaken, you have a donate button on your site, correct?
I believe we do. I believe we do. And we, I know for sure we have a donate button on lifetimefoundation.org. And that's kind of a organization that provides a lot of our grants for adoptive parents to adopt and also provides services and college scholarships for women who have placed a child for adoption. So that's at lifetimefoundation.org.
You guys are awesome.
You know, we may need to do a part two to this show, and Heather, we would definitely like to have you back on if we do a part two. But
I would
so much
love
for calling in tonight and for sharing information with Every Woman Talk Show. We just want to give you a round of applause, and thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you, Heather.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Heather. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Mm-hmm. Good night. And ladies, we do have one more caller on the line. We do have Nico from Texas calling in. Nico, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hi, Nico.
Hi, everybody.
Nico, you are second
caller.
Would
you ever consider adoption?
Nico won a gift. Nico, you want a gift. You know that, right? So before you answer the question, you want a gift. You want a $25 off coupon for every $100
that
you spend at the K&G Super
Store. Woo!
So,
can I get that?
Congratulations to Nico. Let's go ahead
and
get
Nico!
Question.
You can have it, Jackie. I'll trade it to you for cash.
No way, man.
You have to call in. Okay.
You are not
adopted. You had a question about adoption. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to put my daughter up for adoption, standing in the background talking about she was adopted. Anyway. Nico, it's not funny. This child was born on my birthday. It's not cute at all. Nico, would you ever consider adoption? Do you think you would ever consider adopting?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. If you ever, and Jackie, you're not mom right now. You're a co-host on the show. if you were ever in a situation where a young lady was pregnant and she was considering adopting, how do you think you would feel about that?
If she was pregnant and considering adopting or giving her baby up for adoption?
Giving your baby up for adoption, sweetie.
I wouldn't have an issue with it. I'm going to be honest. I'm pretty damn selfish.
Which means you shouldn't make babies.
Right.
Jackie, you're not mom.
No, I would say that to anybody. I would say
that
to anybody.
Right.
I really, really applaud your honesty and your realness where you are and your feelings. And I tell every young person, enjoy your selfish years. Kids are expensive.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sitting here
ladies,
going to camp out for some sneakers this weekend for $170. I can't afford kids.
Mm-hmm. But your time will come.
You know
but ladies,
what?
Listen, it's time for closing thoughts. So, get your closing thoughts on adoption and foster care. What you thought about our show tonight? So, Sig, do you want to start out with that?
We need a part two. I don't know about next week. We need a part two because there's some adoptee stories that I would love to hear out there. And if my daughter calls in, I'm going to choke her. She's not adopted. She's raising her hand over here. Oh, my older brother told her she was adopted for years, and she believed it and never asked was she adopted. She looks just like me, born on my birthday, but she thought she was adopted for real.
Oh, wow. Mm. But she loved you anyway.
I think the option to be a foster parent, the option to be an adoptive family, I think that's an awesome decision to make. I don't think people should make it lightly. Be in it for the child, children know when you're BSing them. I think if you're in a situation where you decide, oh, I can't provide for this child the life that the child will deserve, and you opt for adoption, I applaud you for that. Seek help. Get somebody to talk to, anybody but a child of mine, because I should have adopted, put all of them up for adoption now that I think about it.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I think I'm so glad that both of our guests were able to dispel so many of the stereotypes and the myths that are out there about foster parenting and adoption. You know, I don't think adoption should be looked at as a black eye or smack in the face. You know, we oftentimes say it, especially when there's an absent father, you know, it's not the person who created you. It's the person who loved you. It's the person who raised you.
Yeah.
It's the person who taught you how to ride a bike, who, you know, stood outside in the rain with you when you were coming from your first day of school. Those are your parents. Those are your mom and your dad. Those are the people that love you. So never shun somebody because they've been adopted, or never be ashamed that you've been adopted, because I think for someone to reach out and say, I'm going to take someone not of my own loins, not of my own lineage, and love them just the same is freaking amazing.
Amazing. Well, here's my closing thought. I'm a woman of a certain age. I don't have any kids. I've never been married. So I may have to give Heather a phone call. That's my closing thought.
And that's, you know what, Nate? I would applaud you because you have so much love. You have enough love in your heart. Whether this child, like I said, is of your loins, that child will be of your heart. And that's all that really matters, because look at how many people who have children of their loins, but that child is not in their heart.
I think adopted children are extra special because they're chosen.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's just the truth. I used to know a little girl that was adopted when growing up, and she used to feel really bad about it. And I told her, you're special because your parents chose you. Our parents got stuck with us.
Okay.
Well, when you look at it that way, you know.
I mean,
it's the truth, though.
My mom looked at me like, really, you couldn't say that a better way? I needed for her to feel extra special. So our parents got stuck with us. They're like, I got a kid, I'm stuck with this kid. I can't even trade it in for a better model. And your parents chose the best model. And I think being adoption is just totally, totally awesome. You're chosen. And that nothing is more glorious than being chosen.
Absolutely. Yeah. So today, I got dibs on being a godmother.
Oh, thank you. As long as you bake some food, Jack, you can bake some sweets.
Your child will be a roly-poly messing with me.
Yes. Well, on that note, I just want to thank our callers, Janisha and Nico, and congratulations to you guys because you won the gift certificate to K&G Superstore. Yay!
Yay! That's what's up. We need to go shopping.
Yes. And to all of our other callers and listeners, again, thank you so much, you know, just for supporting us and liking us on Facebook and even listening in. We want you to call and share your thoughts and share your heart with us, but thank you for the love and for supporting us. And also, next week's show, I believe it's Black Women Raising Young Black Men.
Yes.
That's a hot topic. That show can go on all night. So definitely we want our callers, our listeners, to call in and give us your thoughts on that. Next month, June 14th, the Relay for Cancer event, y'all, is coming up. So you got to get your
I've been practicing. I walked 5 miles the other day.
Oh,
so I didn't say I was walking. I didn't say I was running, but I walked five miles. Let's get it.
Amen to that. Amen. So the Relay for Cancer event is June 14th at Shabazz High School in Newark, New Jersey. We need your support. Come out and run with us. Come out and look at us. Come out, shake hands, blow kisses. Say, hey, girl, just come out and see us. But you can also donate to the Every Woman Talk Show team by going to relayforlife.org and to our team name, the Every Woman Talk Show. And please make a donation to help support cancer awareness. You can also support a Relay for Life event in your area. So check out their website and see how you can support. I want to remind you that the Game Strong Sports Talk Show with Trey Davis and his host, co-host TK are on Monday nights at 8 p.m. They do a fantastic job, y'all. We just got to get a little bit more love for Ray Allen on that show. Okay, the Man Up Talk Show is – I love Ray Allen. I love him. But anyway, the Man Up Talk Show is every Friday night at 7 p.m. And, of course, the Every Woman Talk Show is here with a hot ladies' night every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. You never know what you're going to get here at the Every Woman Talk Show. The relationship with with Lady Jackie and Nas airs Sunday night at 8 p.m. Jackie, you better go work, girl, do your thing.
Yes.
And also, yes. And so we also, we just want to thank the Shadow World family for supporting us and giving us a platform to give you a platform, giving us a platform to share with you and talk about things that are on your heart and matter. So until next week, we love you.
Good night, everybody. Good night,
good
ladies.
Good night,
everybody.
And we're going to go out to Thanks for My Child by Cheryl Pepsi.
Yes.
You guys love your kids. Hug on the kids tonight. Give them some love. Good night.
Good night.
goodbye, my baby. I'll rock you.